the lovely Tess Brooke. Tess is a communication and conflict specialist with 15 years' experience as a communications expert and mediator. She helps organizations go through complex change by designing the path forward, mainly focusing on soft skills development and workplace culture. Tess has a passion for helping people to become the best communicators they can be. And this passion has actually prompted her to put together a fantastic online course all about how to have those difficult conversations at work. So welcome, Tess. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tess, what prompted you to design the course? How did you decide there was a need for this type of thing out there?
In my work, I've kept coming across two key scenarios that were just coming up again and again, and it led me to create this course. The first scenario, I saw people promoted into leadership roles without appropriate training and support. Often they would be the technical expert, or they would be very, very competent in what they're doing, and they go, fantastic, we're going to give you a promotion and put you in a management role, and not give them that support to be able to have those tough conversations, not giving them support to be able to put boundaries around people, just to support them in the new skills that are required in that role. In a way, it's almost like they're setting them up to fail. The other scenario, sorry, go.
No, that's all right. I was just agreeing with you. We see this a lot ourselves in our work.
I'm sure you do. Another scenario I saw time and time again was in my mediation practice. I saw many situations that resulted in mediation, and I'm sure you would see this in the investigations as well, that if it had been addressed sooner and less formally, it would never have ever led to the outcome of a mediation or an investigation. Mm-hmm. Often, either one or the other person was lacking in the skills to have a difficult conversation. They're feeling uncomfortable, or they would avoid it or hope it would go away. And tragically, tough or difficult conversations and get avoided, assumptions run wild, misunderstandings escalate, and they get blown out of control, leading to a situation where we have mediation or investigation or both.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying what you're saying. And I think another thing that we encounter a lot, Tess, is where we're investigating a workplace complaint where a previous manager has sort of been unable to have those difficult conversations, and they've allowed that inappropriate behavior underperformance to sort of go on rather than confronting the issue, because they don't have the tools to be able to have those conversations and deal with those things. And then what happens is that manager then leaves and a new manager comes in, and they're left to deal with this really unhealthy but entrenched behavior in the workplace, or really unhealthy workplace culture. And when they try to make change, people are sort of saying, well, hey, you know, we were allowed to do this before, why aren't now? And that's when people start to feel victimized. So I think, you know, having people trained in these sorts of skills for having difficult conversations and maintaining and talking to people in a way that where they will maintain their performance, I think is super important. So let's go through some of the things that you cover in the course that might help someone in this position. The course is divided into three sections. What are they, Tess?
So the first section is the mindset makeover, where we explore managing your headspace and creating breathing space and giving you that ability to think and prepare prior to actually prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, prior to actually getting involved into the second section, where we're figuring out what to say and how to say it. And then this third section of the course is dealing with the tough stuff, dealing with the reactions and the behaviors, and being able to stay focused and on point and deliver your message professionally.
Okay, so let's take a deeper dive into what those three things mean then. Let's start with managing your headspace. What do you mean by this, and why is it important when we're learning to manage difficult conversations successfully?
It's very important. It's probably singly, I believe, the most important thing. And if we can do that, then we're going to be able to enter into the conversation being very, very clear around our own personal needs and boundaries. And so we take them through a process of identifying what they're likely to react to and what they and help them identify what boundaries that they need to put around the conversation. And in doing so, it starts to create some breathing space for them. And we take them through giving themselves permission to exit if it's no longer constructive to stay in the conversation. I'm not sure that I've ever heard any of my previous managers saying, "Oh, you could exit a conversation," but sometimes it's really, really important to do so. And so we take them through the last step of this first module is around developing an exit strategy, just in case they need it, and in such a way that they look after their reputation and the reputation of others.
So that was one thing that surprised me actually, Tess, about this course was that people would have trouble exiting a conversation. Why do you think that is an issue for some people, knowing when to put an end to a conversation and come back later?
Often, when people should exit a conversation, they're potentially starting to react to the other person. They're starting to be triggered by the other person or frustrated in some way or shape. So, then what happens? Our word choices that we might use in that context when we're reacting or triggered may not leave the professional outcome that we would hope. And so, it's by a clear understanding of what your triggers are and what you might need to put boundaries around, and then also having a pre-prepared exit strategy is means that you're recalling in the moment rather than creating an exit strategy in the moment, and you've already got a set of words there that you can draw on, and you might adapt it in the moment, but you're not actually creating it in the moment. And the beautiful thing about this is once you have a pre-prepared exit strategy to deploy if you need it, if there's no value in continuing a conversation right there and then, it leaves the individual, the manager, never feeling trapped in a conversation. And they could exit simply because they're having trouble staying calm or are having trouble reacting, or they could be exiting because the other person's behaviors, or they're going off in tangents, they're going around in circles, they could start blaming somebody else, they could be getting emotional. Like, there's so many reasons why it would be worthwhile exiting and getting back on point and getting back on purpose and reconvening.
Let's jump back to where you mentioned the mindset makeover. What is
Yes.
the purpose of that? Why is that important before you sort of embark on a difficult conversation?
It's important to go in with your head in the right space. Often we can go into a conversation carrying expectations, carrying assumptions, carrying a lot of baggage about what could happen. And if we go into the conversation with a clearer head and clarity around how we're going to manage, how we want to present, how we want to look after ourselves, it creates a different energy. It creates a level of confidence that, and it's not the overarching confidence of an extrovert or who's so sure of themselves that's got this. It's a very considered confidence that, okay, I've taken a lot of things into consideration, and it's a quiet confidence. It's a confidence knowing that you're prepared. It's a confidence knowing that your head's in the right space. It's okay, you might be nervous, and it's a confidence knowing that that nerve can actually help you. It's not about not being nervous. It's about being able to go forward with the right headspace comfortably and confidently.
So you're in the right headspace, you've defined your boundaries of what you will and won't accept in the conversation, and you've got your exit strategy worked out. So now it's time to work on what to say and how to say it. So I would imagine this is the part that people can find particularly difficult, am I right?
Yes, people do find it very hard to pick the words. Some people, and for many different reasons, some people worry about getting the words absolutely perfect. Some people start to worry about what other people will respond to in that the words that they pick. Some people don't even know where to start. Their how they feel about it gets in the road, and so we give them a very structured way to actually move forward and think about the different components of the conversation and help them step by step bite off each piece in bite-sized chunks and construct their opening sentences, their possible the desired outcomes, their key messages, and their closing sentences, and an option of closing sentences, because you never quite know how the conversation is going to land. It's a guided process to make it much easier for people.
That's great. So I guess planning your words ahead of time is important. For what reason? Why do we need to plan what we're going to say ahead of having a difficult conversation?
It creates clarity. It keeps you concise and keeps you on point. Often there's a temptation to load the conversation with many, many points, many messages that, and it feels like a bombardment. And too many messages is noise. So if you plan ahead of time and you're really clear on the purpose and the outcomes that you want to achieve, then you can be really concise with your core messaging. And I encourage people to go less is more. And it means that there'll be less noise and those messages will land, and people will, in the conversation, will get the takeaways much, much clearer.
Yeah, I find that with my teenage daughter actually. When I try to raise too many topics at once, I see the eyes glaze over and
Yes. It's amazing how many people who have done this course turn around and say, "Oh, that helped me so much with my daughter or my son or my husband." It's designed in the context of a workplace. The principles apply regardless of whether it's a friend, a family member, a workplace.
That's a good point, because we often have to have difficult conversations, not just at work, but with family members or with our neighbours, or so knowing how to strategize that and do that well can be really beneficial, I think, in every aspect of our lives, can it? So
Yes.
I guess one of the foundations of this course seems to be is a thing that you call forgetting about logic. Why should we forget about logic when we're going
Oh,
through a
I
conversation?
love this. I absolutely love this. I learned this from a mentor by the name of Bill Eddy, and it's so important to forget about logic because not everybody has the same logic as you. If they did, your conversation may not be difficult. It could be they're much more aligned in your view of the world. So when we try to convince people of a point of view from our logic, and it doesn't work, you end up in such a frustrated state of going nowhere. And we try to construct an argument based on our logic, and there's so many different logics out there. And some people will argue on a cognitive logic, some people will argue on an emotional logic, some people argue on different logic. And the minute you can forget about logic and let it go, you go, okay, well, they are different to me. But why am I trying to assume they'll do or approach something the same way? And then it's less about sort of talking at them. And to me, it shifts it to actually trying to understand a little bit more and trying to communicate more concisely rather than trying to convince them.
Okay, yeah, that's really interesting, because I think that's what we automatically do, is we try to convince the other person of our way of thinking rather than trying to perhaps understand their way of thinking and how they're coming at it. It's all about trying to convince them, and that can be a bit of a brick wall, I think, in a lot of cases, because people do think so differently.
Absolutely. And it limits our communication style if we stick to our own logic. So it helps if we're willing to be a little bit more flexible. And when you forget about logic, it just opens you up to more possibilities.
Right, so the next step is to work out your opening sentence. And I would imagine this is a particularly tricky aspect for a lot of people as well, broaching the subject, really, isn't it? So, how important is the opening sentence, and why do we focus on it in the course?
The opening sentence is because it sets the tone, and it sets a tone as to whether someone's going to feel like they're in trouble or whether they're going to feel like they're going to be heard, whether it sets a tone around the expectations of what the conversation is going to be, what you're about to talk about. It's to me, it's the first opportunity you have to put the other person at ease and have them become more of a constructive part of a two-way conversation. And it's critical. It's really critical. And I just want to clarify, it doesn't mean that you have to get it absolutely perfect, because often we don't get our opening sentence perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about being able to get the message across that we want to be able to say, And so often it can take us a little bit of time to settle into the conversation. My voice might be a little croaky, or so it's about being getting it the expectations there and helping people understand where we're going with the conversation.
And you also help participants to craft a closing sentence. So why is the closing sentence important as well?
The closing sentence is important because it sets the expectations moving forward. When we have a conversation, it's not possible to know with 100% certainty where the conversation will end. In our preparation work, we look at some of the outcomes and objectives that we want to achieve in the conversation. We also look at, what could be the best and worst case scenarios. So that provides us the opportunity to prepare a couple of closing sentences or have a sense of where how you would like to close. And it's important because we can then clarify or summarize and clarify the end of the conversation, and so that the person, when you finish, has got a clear expectation of what's expected of them moving forward, clear expectation of what you're going to do moving forward.
Excellent. Okay. So the section three of the course you call the tough stuff. Okay, so we've planned our approach and we're feeling prepared and we're confident about the conversation we're going to have. But what happens when the other person starts to get angry or derails your train of thought by sort of continuously going off on tangents or blaming others? How do we keep the conversation calm and focused?
Well, in section three, we take you through how to do exactly that. We actually have a really magic technique that you could, and we give you the script and the words to use to deploy to be able to bring it back on point, to guide people back on, to stay on point, to stay on topic. And because you've already done that really beautiful work of being clear around the purpose of your conversation, your core messaging, you actually know exactly what you're bringing them back to. You're not reacting to what they're doing and how they're responding. It could be as simple as that. I really would like you to stay on point. Can we return to blah, blah, blah? And we give you some magic little techniques to help you stay on point and very gently manage the people, the person who might be reacting or whatever they're doing, without escalating the situation. The last thing you want to do is say, oh, you're way over the top, or you shouldn't be reacting like that. You need to settle down, because that's just going to escalate it more. So we take you through a technique to actually calmly, professionally return them on point, return them to the topic of the conversation. We also take you through if they if they can't get back to point and back to topic, then you have the option to deploy the exit strategy that you prepared in section one. And so you can use this technique if they continue to be upset or angry or accusing others or what have you. You can then deploy your exit strategy, exit professionally, reschedule a time to come back and start again, hopefully in a calmer state.
Yeah, I can actually see how those skills could be really useful to me as an interviewer, as an investigative interviewer as well, because you so often get that situation where people become quite emotional or they go off on tangent.
When I run workshops, I give each table in the workshop a topic that they actually have to then come up with the words to actually bring the conversation back on point. And that's a lot of fun, and it's lovely to hear so many. There's so many different ways you can say it nicely. You can and be professional at the same time. And you hear people struggle initially because they go, oh, I'd be really annoyed if someone did that, and I'd want to say blah. And the beautiful thing about preparing a lot of this in advance is, again, as I said earlier, you're recalling, you're not preparing. So instead of using the first words that you might want to say, you're actually using a pre-prepared set of words that is much more professional.
Absolutely. And one of the other topics that I noticed was is you talk about not taking things personally. It's not about you. What's that all about?
Let's take for example, the situation that you come across a lot, and which I also come across, where a manager has a previous manager has not pulled in inappropriate behavior, so it's been allowed to exist and it becomes a norm over a sustained period of time. and a new manager comes in and is trying to do the right thing, put boundaries in place, and they could then potentially get complaints about them, that they're being bullied, that they're bullying their staff, etc. It's important to realize it could be any new manager that comes in and tries to do that. It's actually not about you personally. It's either about the position you're taking or your role. And I think it helps when you're able to recognize it's actually not about you. Another aspect to that is you're dealing with their reaction in the moment. You're the one that's had time to prepare and to think about the conversation and to find your words. The person you're interacting with has not had that time to think about it. Or in most cases, they haven't had that time to think about it. And so how we would react in the moment may not necessarily be how we would react if we'd had the same level of time and consideration as the person conducting the interview or the conversation would. So there's many contributing factors that it's actually not about you. Will be the odd occasion where it could be a personality clash, and then it's about the two different communication styles as opposed to the role and the conversation that it has to have. But most of the time, it's not about you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ways to look to keep yourself calm during the conversation as well, because things can feel very personal, especially when someone is feeling as though they're backed into a corner or they're getting a little bit aggressive. It can feel very personal. So I think it's a good thing to be able to remind yourself at that point in time, hey, this isn't personal. I'm having a difficult conversation with this person. They haven't had time to prepare. I'm sure they would react differently, in another circumstance. I'll stay calm.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we can set the tone and lead, the person conducting the conversation can set the tone and lead that and guide the others how to do that.
Yeah, and it's a type of de-escalation technique, isn't it, really?
It is. And the person conducting the conversation, if they're struggling to stay calm, it's totally okay for them to exit and remove themselves from the conversation. And there's ways you can do that professionally and reconvene. They may, you probably wouldn't want to tell them that, look, I'm struggling to stay calm. You may simply be able to say, look, I think we're going to need to reconvene this conversation. I'll reschedule for another day and give you time looking after yourself to refocus and get back on track and start again.
Fantastic. Well, look, it certainly sounds like a fascinating course, and I'd love to do that one myself. So, if people do want to sign up for your Confident Conversations course, how can they go about doing that?
They can go to our website. It's www.confidentconversations.guru, and on the very first page, they can there's three different locations. On the first page, they can click in and jump straight into the course. The website also has a number of free guides. It's got a guide for caring for yourself and others during a difficult conversation, a guide to having a respectful conversation. And there's a guide in there for HR managers who have to coach managers to prepare for difficult conversations. And there's one or two other free resources available in the website as well. So jump in and have a look around. And people listening to this podcast will be able to get, if they sign up to the course, will be able to get a 20% discount off the course. And I don't know what the code is yet.
I'll put the code in the show notes and
Yes.
on our social media when we promote the podcast. So I'll do
Thank you.
that for
Thank
you,
you.
no problem. And I can attest to the fact that the resources on that website are excellent. I've had a look at them all, and there's certainly some really helpful stuff on there. And I know that having seen the course overview and all the details, I think it's a very worthwhile course, and I would highly recommend it to anyone who's looking at having some difficult conversations. Absolutely. Now, how long, once they go on, it's all online, isn't it? So how long does it take to complete the course?
There's two ways you can do it. You could do the fast track way, And if you need to prepare in a conversation and you've got very little time, you can go way to go in approximately 90 minutes. Or you could do, we've got video lessons with each lesson, and we've got case studies. If you want to go and do all of those, it would probably take you 2.5 hours. But so 1.5 hours to 2.5 hours, depending, and you'll be prepared for your difficult conversation.
Fantastic. Now, what if people feel like they need a little bit more help from you after they've done the course?
If people feel like they would need a little bit more help, they're welcome to book into our coaching session, into one of our coaching sessions. So there's a couple of ways people can get additional help. They can book into one of our coaches, where we have a totally tailored process for coaching you through your, you've already done the preparation work in your course. You complete a briefing form which gets sent through to our coaches. Whichever coach is allocated to you will receive the briefing form. They will have understood the context, who it's with, what the challenges are, what you're most concerned about, and we can jump straight into working with your coach on where you want to improve in the conversation or what you're most concerned about. You can also jump into our Facebook page, and we do live Q&As. You could submit a question into the Facebook page, and we are starting to do live Q&As in our new Facebook group. And so there's a number of different ways that you can get help. The Facebook group is available only to people who have done the course. And it's new, so we're pretty excited about it.
Fantastic. All right. So, look, I'll put all of those details in the show notes and in our social media promotions for the Confident Conversations course. So, go and check that out. I think that's going to be absolutely invaluable for a lot of people out there listening to this podcast. So, thank you so much for your time today, Tess. I really appreciate it. And that was really fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you very much.